Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to the third AGM of the Save the David Lean Cinema Campaign Community Interest Company. Thank you for coming along. It's always a great pleasure to be joined by our supporters on these occasions. I do apologize for keeping you waiting slightly, but I can assure you it was for David Lean cinema-related drama, which I'll very briefly touch upon later. So it's carrying on right till the end of my period as chairman. Some quick introductions regarding who's at front. To my left is Margaret Sudeck, campaign treasurer. Then it's John Ingman, our secretary, and Philip Howard, programmer and vice chair. I should express our thanks to Croydon Council for letting us use the Braithwaite Hall once again. It's always a pleasure to be here. I'll just quickly outline the format for tonight. You're going to hear the reports that you'll see on the agenda. Then there will be a short break where you can have another drink prior to the entertainment later, which will be a screening of the 28-minute film, The Fairfield Collection. And we will be adding our current Brit School short and a few trailers to give you a preview of what's coming up in the coming weeks. The annual report, as always, is covering the period up to the 31st of March. So that's most of 2016 and up to the end of March 2017. But I will also touch upon significant events since then, not always splitting these off from the relevant sections because that could damage continuity in some respects. Starting with the film programme, the work of Philip Howard and his programming colleagues was outlined at last year's AGM, and of course, that remains central to all we do. We have a minimum of nine different films screened every month, but 12, 13, or even more, 12, 13, or even more is a common number in a particular month, especially when we have extra screenings of popular titles. A lot of care goes into selecting the programme, with large numbers of films seen in advance at the London Film Festival and via other pre-release viewing. Being some of our most loyal patrons, you'll be well aware of what has been screened during the year in question, but I'll also provide a summary of special events and certain significant programming developments, particularly because these are where a community group such as ourselves, made up of passionate film enthusiasts, goes the extra mile to offer opportunities that were less likely to happen in the former council-run era. So going back to April 2016, we had a memorable screening of Oliver Twist in 35mm, and that was on the 25th anniversary of the death of David Lean. And we had film historian guest Kevin Brownlow, who introduced the film and participated in a fascinating Q&A afterwards. In June, we had Death of a Gentleman with guests, co-directors Sam Collins and Jared Kimber. That was a screening in conjunction with the Sports Journalists Association. July was notable for being the start of our Babes in Arms screenings, and so ever since then we've had various numbers of babies with parents on a particular Tuesday of the month. I think attendances have ranged from about 10 to complete capacity, although I know some of the mums would prefer it if it wasn't complete capacity because it does create a rather warm and distracting environment. But certainly, our staff enjoy these screenings, and it's great that we're providing opportunities for members of the community who really love their occasional trips out to the David Lean. In August, we had the documentary Last Man on the Moon with Mark Craig providing a very interesting Q&A. In October, we had Frame by Frame with one of the co-directors, Mo Scarpelli, on the David Lean screen because this was the second Q&A we've done via Skype. And it was also a film that hasn't even had a UK release, so that reinforces how rare some of these opportunities are. In November, we screened the Bolshoi Ballet in conjunction with our friend Carol Roberts, who has researched the story of how the Bolshoi Ballet came to appear in Croydon. And that really was a very special occasion because we showed it on the 60th anniversary of half of the film actually being shot at the Davis Theatre in Croydon. So there was a fantastic atmosphere that night, and we were really showing a film that has become virtually a lost film in the UK. So that was very popular, and it prompted another sellout in December. Also in December, we showed Carmen Jones as part of the BFI's Black Star season, and that was an occasion where we are able to provide complimentary seasonal refreshments as a result of the sponsorship. Coming into this year, March 2017 was notable for being our first school visit. You wouldn't have seen this on the programme because we had 60 pupils and staff from Archbishop Lanfranc School in the cinema to see a screening of A Monster Calls. And I think that went very well. Maybe unusual amounts of popcorn visible on the floor at a David Lean screening, but obviously we're very keen to engage with younger people, and that was a notable example. And we also had a visit by some uniformed groups who didn't actually see a feature, but got taken around the projection box and other facilities around that time. Moving out of the 2016-17 year, there have been further notable events since April. In May, we showed Twelfth Night, which was the first theatrical production to be shown at the David Lean since 2011. This was a Globe Theatre production, and it was actually a direct response to the demand for such screenings that was expressed at our AGM last year. At the moment, it would be very difficult for us, for certain reasons, to revive the live streaming, but there are opportunities to show one of these recorded productions, and we do hope to bring you more from the Globe Theatre in the future. In June, we engaged with Croydon Heritage Festival, and that was a memorable afternoon in which we showed Brief Encounter on 35mm, and we had a very special guest, which was Patrick Cadell, who was David Lean's final assistant director on A Passage to India. And he really was an excellent guest, talking for well over an hour, answering various questions. And he'd like to come back sometime, and so there is the possibility that we could organise a Passage to India reunion. And actor James Fox has said that he'd also like to participate in that, and we might possibly even get Nigel Havers if Patrick Kandel can use his contacts. So that's a possibility for the future. Also in June, we returned to Purley Festival by actually doing a screening in Purley, which is the first time we've done that since 2013. It's very rare now for us to do a screening beyond the David Lean, but it was nice to get out and do something different, and we showed Long Day Closes there. In August, we featured Reach for the Sky in association with the Kenley Revival Project, who provided a very interesting introduction telling us about RAF Kenley before the audience saw a film that was largely shot there. And more recently, earlier in September, we showed London Symphony, which is a very distinctive film comprised of London images with a musical score, and we had director Alex Barrett for that, and so that was another memorable occasion. We also screened films in connection with Black History Month, Holocaust Memorial Day, LGBT History Month, International Women's Day, and Croydon Comedy Festival. We've continued with our monthly captioned screenings for patrons with hearing loss, and we know that these are greatly valued by some patrons who wouldn't necessarily benefit from the infrared receivers. The biggest hits during that period were A United Kingdom and La La Land. I believe they both stretched to 6 screenings, which meant they joined The Lady in the Van on 6, not quite reaching Suffragette, which retains its record 8 as our biggest ever hit. I would add that the special events we put on do have a particular value to the campaign, because they help put the David Lean on the map. Thousands of people sometimes see mention of these on social media. They sometimes involve engagement with community groups that brings in people that wouldn't otherwise have known about the David Lean. And importantly, the feedback on these occasions does tend to be exceptional. You get sometimes a unique atmosphere, and you feel privileged to see something that's really out of the ordinary. I remember one of our stewards, after the first Bolshoi Ballet screening, saying that it made her proud to be associated with the David Lean. Another memorable moment was the time that Patrick Cadell, who worked with both Steven Spielberg and David Lean, having discovered that they were both very eager to meet each other, actually was instrumental in organizing a dinner in a London restaurant where the two finally did meet, and I think that story was worth the price of the ticket alone. But despite that, some of these special events don't actually sell out, which I must say is disappointing, because people do enjoy them so much, and it does tend to cause us to put many hours of work into the publicity, because it would actually be embarrassing with some of these occasions if they didn't have a particularly good audience. And so I do hope we can build up our audience for these screenings. If I could offer one plea to our members, although as this is a very engaged group, I don't think it would necessarily apply to the supporters here, but it would be to say that the smaller films we sometimes show that get very limited releases do often turn out to be the ones that really bring in the exceptional feedback, whereas ironically some of the really big hits like La La Land and Moonlight, they were both films that not everyone felt they lived up to their reputation, although obviously films winning multiple awards do have a lot to live up to. So I'd very strongly recommend, even if a film has a very low profile, coming to these lower profile films. And alternatively, if you're one of our supporters who seeks out the more unusual choices but avoids the more mainstream ones, they can also surprise in a very positive way. I remember how much our patrons praised Their Finest, because the marketing that said comedy, I think, was very misleading, because people turned up to this and they found a very well crafted, subtle film with great performances that was very enriching experience. And so sometimes the industry's love of the word comedy, I don't think does the audience any favors. I'd also add that our non-campaign, or at least the number of non-campaign screenings, has expanded. Apsara Arts, who present Indian films, have shown several, and there are more coming in October, as are films from the Polish Film Club. Also, the current Warhol-Croydon season has resulted in some unusual material on screen, and there's due to be some quite phenomenal films coming up in the next few days. So although we're not responsible for these screenings, other than providing projectionists, they are screenings that help to fill the gaps in our program and take the David Lean further towards being a fully open cinema. So I think it's all good for us. I do wish the council would take on board the desirability of a centralized box office that would eventually give people a scope to book for all of these, but that still seems some way off. I'll now move on to the box office manager's report, and I thank Alan Peakle for this. 2016-17 was a year of continuing improvement at the box office, but not as much as had been hoped. Sales increased to nearly 9,600 from 8,350 in the preceding 12 months. While this increase was partly because we showed for more films, 108 versus 106, and had more screenings, 196 versus 176, there was also an increase in the percentage of seats sold from 70% in 2015-16 to 72.9% in 2016-17. March 2017 was exceptional, with over 1,500 sales, an astonishing 97.4% of the seats on offer. There were developments at both the physical box office, where the dedicated internet link, permanently established in late February, established via the projection room, and a new, more reliable printer, making life much easier for our on-the-day box office volunteers, and the virtual box office, with our own website coming on stream in June 2016 and now being used for online publicity as the main portal for e-sales. Since April, sales have continued to exceed those of the same month last year, with the exception of this month, when we've been unable to have as many screenings as we would have wished. There was disruption to the on-the-day box office while the cafe bar area was being reconfigured during the Braithwaite Hall works, but we now have a much more convenient storage area for the box office volunteers' equipment. For the rest of 2017-18, we hope it will be a case of onward, ever upward, but it will be hard to match March 2017. I would like to thank Alan, not just for that report, but also because his period as box office manager is coming to an end. And although supporters will be well aware of the work he's put in on the film pages on the website and also, of course, on TicketSource, non-committee members wouldn't be so familiar with his superb financial analysis, which comes in the form of coloured spreadsheets showing exactly how profitable different films are. He tended to refer to the Sea of Red in his Lord of Doom persona, but it has more recently become something of a Sea of Green, not necessarily in the summer, but for most of the rest of the year. So many thanks to Alan for all he has done as our box office manager. Maintaining equipment in and around the cinema in cooperation with our council contacts is another crucial part of our work. I'm pleased to say there's less to report than in the previous year, which has to be positive, with previous improvements such as the infrared receivers becoming established and providing ongoing benefit. I had to mention the heating, if only to say there's very little to say about the heating, because some of you will remember what a traumatic subject that was, with people arriving in hats and gloves and scarves. I'm not joking, that's what used to happen. So thankfully there has been very little to do regarding the occasional, other than the occasional tweak to the heating. Another step forward was that around the end of the year in question, the handyman team was formed, and this little team is now taking on various miscellaneous jobs, which included repairing the legs of the sofa near the entrance to the arts bar. I should emphasize that the name reflects the fact that it's all male at the moment, but if any ladies would care to join, we would be only too pleased to change the name. One technical thing I'll briefly touch upon is a refurbished digital projector server was installed in August, and that has dealt with some of the worries and gremlins that were becoming increasingly problematic. And that did cost a significant sum to be replaced. And so I think I should put on record that we appreciate that the cost of this and a new lamp earlier in the year and the maintenance contract is paid by the council. And although it's their cinema and an important council resource, so we'd be very disappointed if they didn't cover such expenditure, we still appreciate the fact that that they have paid for this. I'll now refer to our volunteers via a report kindly provided by Heather Hardy and Kathy Burns, our volunteer coordinators. After the closure of Fairford Halls, we were pleased to welcome 10 former volunteers to the David Lean Cinema. We now have a total of 76 volunteers working as stewards, projectionists, administrative assistants, and at the arts bar and box office. This is an addition to committee members, paid staff, and the many people who assist by, for example, distributing publicity materials. The two volunteer coordinators have continued to recruit, train, and update their volunteer colleagues. To celebrate their invaluable contribution, we organized a volunteer event in July this year, which was much enjoyed. The biggest challenge for us this year was the successful reopening of the Arts Bar, operated by volunteers. The bar is open Tuesday and Thursday evenings, serving hot drinks, soft drinks, and recently beer and wine, as well as a range of snacks. We are keen to recruit more volunteers so we can open for more screenings. Heather and Kathy would like to thank all our volunteers, without whose work we could not operate our cinema. We welcome prospective volunteers who can contact us via the website or by speaking to Heather tonight. And I would like to add a personal thanks to Heather and Kathy particularly for the major achievement in reinstating the Arts Bar from the start of this year, which, of course, was something we were very eager to do, having lost the council's help on that the previous summer. And, of course, having two people at the Arts Bar every evening that it's open has major implications for our volunteer staff and for their scheduling. So I think it's great that Heather and Kathy were willing to take that extra task on. To touch upon a few other notable events, in September last year, we launched our New Look email newsletter, which I think has gone down well, and Richard Eccles deserves our thanks for all his work on that. He also produces the promo for the newsletter that you generally see at the start of a screening at the David Lean. In November, sadly, the tram disaster took place, and part of the clock tower, including the Braithwaite Hall and the cinema, were requisitioned for that, which resulted in screenings on a particular day being postponed. And of course, our sadness in relation to this tragedy is entirely due to the loss of life and the injuries. Postponing a screening is of no importance whatsoever in the scale of things. On a much happier note, before that, I should also mention in November that was the month that we won our Time Out Love London Croydon Local Culture Award, and I'm sure many of you took part in the voting that enabled us to get that award. It helps put us on the map in a way that obviously offers very good publicity. So thank you to everyone who felt the David Lean is the Croydon venue you love the most in terms of culture. It might be argued that with the Fairfield closed, we didn't have competition in that respect, but there was competition from various arts venues, and so it was a delight that we won that. And hopefully the opportunity to vote for this year's awards will come up soon. Going back to March this year, just before the end of the year in question, we celebrated our third anniversary, which was a great pleasure on the day of our screenings of Lion. And it was also a notable milestone because this marked the cinema being open for longer than it was closed. And so this was an occasion where we had sparkling wine and chocolates and so on, and everyone greatly enjoyed it. Moving on to July, there have been major staff changes. My departing from the former director position has been a part of that, but also David Lavelli became our external relations and publicity manager. Roger Dowling became operations manager. David ceased to be in his former administrative assistant position, but Caroline Revel was appointed in that position. I'll add that Roger offers specialised skills beyond any I personally could offer in the area of operations, and even before his appointment, it was evident that his major contribution in the setting up and the maintenance of parts of the website, and in also in solving our very stressful former Wi-Fi problems, has been a great asset to the campaign, and now he has additional time to put into those areas. September 2017 was also the launch of our Brit School partnership with the school's film and media production department. Establishing links with educational institutions is very difficult, even when the staff may appear keen, and a previous Brit attempt had failed. But the rationale for collaboration with the school is so strong that I was determined to try and achieve this partnership while still chairman. A meeting with their community program representative and their director of film and media production indicated that they were equally enthusiastic. And there were benefits for the school. It helps promote their course, and it gives exposure to the work of students that previously haven't had the sort of exposure that those who can perform by singing or playing music tend to get at community events, because obviously with the filmmaking students, there needs to be a projector and a screen, and that's where we step in. From our point of view, our audiences get to see entertaining shorts made by the talented young filmmakers of the future, and this restores the cinema's early policy going back to the mid-90s of showing shorts before features. And also at a time that we're striving to attract younger audiences, we're making hundreds of creative young people familiar with the David Lean, and I feel that we will gain via the positive association in terms of collaboration with such a renowned institution. Finally, in this section, I'll mention there are two major projects that we've been working on, and we have a brief window of opportunity at the end of this month. One of those is the second stage of the seats project. This will mean that the front three rows are fully reupholstered and with renewed padding, so you'll find, if you seek greater support than you get from some of the sagging old seats, head for the front three rows. Many thanks to the Fairfield Ward councillors who were happy to come up with a grant of £4,000 to fund this work. There's also another project which I'll only touch upon briefly. It is an immensely stressful subject from my point of view. It has involved us having to tackle a formidable combination of aspects because it relates to mechanical engineering, electrical work, building work, all of which needs the authority of the council, which puts further hurdles in our way. The project essentially is to move the digital projector into a much more central position. I'm sure that was always the intention when it was installed in a highly off-center position, because when it was put in, 35mm distribution was still very important. However, it was never moved into the middle. The sort of time that might have happened was around the time that the cinema was closed. So hopefully this project, which will involve some reconfiguring of projection ports, will involve either the digital projector or occasionally one of the 35mm projectors to move in front of a much more central port, because two projectors will actually be mounted on a track system of sturdy metal platforms on rails. I sincerely hope this project will happen in this window of opportunity. Everything has fallen into place except getting the quote from the contractor down to a level that is totally affordable, but there are one or two avenues I'll be pursuing on that, because things have to move very quickly and we have put enormous amount of work into trying to make this project happen. And if it does happen, it will benefit users of the cinema, well, for as long as the cinema keeps going. Looking ahead, our relationship with the council needs to become more clearly defined, particularly because we anticipate needing a new digital projector by the spring of 2019, or possibly earlier. The current one isn't completely worn out, but it's essentially become old enough to be unsupported by manufacturers, so availability of spares is now not guaranteed. The expenditure of getting a new projector could be up to £30,000. And although we might be able to contribute to this, we would of course need to know that we're in a secure ongoing relationship with the council. So some very important discussions need to take place. And we know that there is a willingness within the council, but there are certain things that need to be achieved. We've had meetings with Councillor Timothy Godfrey, the Cabinet Minister for Culture, and more recently, Paula Murray, Croydon's Cultural Director. And these have been constructive meetings which have given an indication of how they would like to see the cinema develop, but they have lacked clear indications of council support. It has also become clear that they need to make certain decisions about the future of the clock tower before talks involving ourselves and senior council officers can proceed. That wider context needs to become clearer, but I don't want to wish to sound pessimistic about the clock tower, because there are positive developments happening. There's a new information point on the right as you go through the main doors, and we've heard about other plans which should improve the clock tower in various ways. And you may have noticed that a lot more is happening in the Braithwaite Hall now, other than this meeting, with musical events and so on. So I think there is some sense of the clock tower being revitalised. Despite ongoing frustrations, we do have genuine allies in the Council Facilities Management Department. And whatever happens in the way of things that don't proceed as quickly as we would like, we're definitely in a much better position than we would be without such figures who genuinely do want to see the cinema succeed. So I'd particularly like to thank William Antoniani, who is a great source of support, his colleague Richard Gore, and Shelley Williams, who at a higher level has also stepped in sometimes and helped things move forward in various respects. That essentially completes my last report as campaign chairman. I will just add quickly some personal observations. This is very much a personal view rather than on behalf of the campaign on my 6 years as chairman. To quote a well-known film character, we all go a little mad sometimes. That's Norman Bates. And I fully understand that some of my committee colleagues will want to disassociate themselves from those sentiments, but I think the David Lean campaign has needed a certain amount of craziness, because the effort that has gone into it is enormous. I'd like to say it's been a lot of fun, but I'd be lying if I said that, because it's been a hell of a lot of work. And, well, I lost count of the amount of spare time I put into it when I estimated 5,000 hours, I think, about 2 years ago, and I don't really want to know. There have been sleepless nights. I remember when we were building up to the launch in 2014. At the time, it seemed that things were going very slowly, but we were probably moving too fast, because the amount that had to be achieved in the space of 2 months before that launch was absolutely phenomenal. And from my point of view, I think I was going to bed about every second night. And I do sometimes struggle with whether all the work we've put into this can really be justified. But I think ultimately the star of this whole initiative is the David Lean Cinema, because if you look back to 1993 when the clock tower opened, or 1995 when the David Lean opened, this really was a visionary project where the council officers and councillors involved in the time take great credit for doing something that was genuinely out of the ordinary. And it gained that reputation from the Time Out quote, calling it the jewel in Croydon's crown. After that, most of you will remember that vision gradually being eroded, with bits of the clock tower closing, the film program getting scaled down, and Sundays ending. And obviously that was sad to see, but when the cuts of 2011 came, I think perhaps there was an element of us collectively feeling, if we could at least hang on to the David Lean Cinema, that would make any other cuts easier to bear. Certainly, the support was there to keep the cinema going, so we could have done with more vision from the council to make use of that support at the time. But in terms of what the campaign needed, apart from enormous amounts of effort from the committee, if I could just pinpoint a couple of things, I would say that diplomacy was absolutely crucial, because there were even times when things had stalled and could have ground to a halt, not because of anything that we were saying, but views that were being attributed to us online that we had no control over. And so an immense amount of diplomacy was needed, and even that was sometimes not quite as much as we needed because of the things we had no control over. We obtained the benefit of some very helpful allies, Angela Vanagas, who was one of the council's community partnerships staff, played a very crucial part by steering the then facilities manager towards meetings with us that the manager could hardly avoid at a time when things just didn't seem to be happening. So that was crucial. You need luck as well. Although the council's decision to move the digital projector to the Fairford Halls was totally misguided, it was a stroke of luck because of that, they bought the projector outright. If they hadn't bought it, it would have gone back to where it came from. And we would have had a major struggle without a digital projector. The campaign could have pulled itself apart in the early years because there was a bit of a difference of opinion between those of us who felt getting the council to reopen the cinema were just hopeless and those that really felt that that should be a key objective. I would say staying calm in stressful conditions is an attribute that has been very valuable for anyone involved in the campaign. I haven't personally managed it. I've sometimes been on the edge of, well, I won't say, but I've definitely been on the edge of packing it in and just feeling in the depths of despair and just totally overwhelmed, because a lot of what we've done has just involved endless problem solving just due to constant succession of hurdles in our way. There have been moments of inspiration. Janet Smith was responsible for one of them in terms of her great idea to launch screenings in the Spread Eagle, because that was a key step which involved us to build up our support over 2 years in those screenings and meant that we had a good support base to draw upon when we started in the David Lean. So, I think I'll just close by saying one thing that I think has been needed in the course of the campaign. And I think, although it is now on a scale where it increasingly needs to be run in a business-like way, it's not a business because we're here to serve the community. And it comes down to passionate film enthusiasts and people that want to enjoy seeing films in the cinema. Something that has been long associated with the cinema experience is the suspension of disbelief. That enables a director to draw in the audience to have an immersive experience and switch off from whatever other thoughts they have and just become a part of whatever they see happening on the screen. And similarly, I think the campaign has had to suspend the disbelief of anyone who might doubt what could be achieved. I remember in September 2011, there was a particular committee meeting when I put forward the possibility of the campaign organising screenings in the David Lean cinema. And I remember a former committee member, who I'm definitely not going to embarrass now because we haven't seen him for years, saying, "There's no way the council will allow that." And of course, that is essentially what has happened. We have put on numerous screenings in the David Lean cinema. That's what we do. We don't own the cinema, but we are the primary group who have brought the cinema back, and that has helped pave the way to other people that are using the cinema. So disbelief like that can be motivating. It helps you to be determined in overcoming it. And I think it also helps to send out a message that if you really believe in something and you feel that good is on your side, so to speak, that can help bring people in and get others on board who might otherwise be susceptible doubting the validity of what you're doing. So I hope in future the David Lean campaign will continue to be an outward-looking organization that builds bridges, because I think that has been a very important part of our work, drawing in other community groups who share some of our enthusiasm for the cinema. I've probably gone on far too long, just as well I can't get the sack now, but thank you very much for listening. I'd like to thank every supporter who has said to me how much it has meant to them to come to the cinema, because that has been immensely motivating for me, just as I'm sure it has been for our colleagues, because clearly it's a special place and we all share this affection for it. So many thanks for really tuning into what the campaign has tried to achieve, and long may the campaign continue, and long may you continue to enjoy your visits to the David Lean Cinema. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm now about to hand over to our treasurer, but before doing so, I should just ask, if you have any questions specifically on the subject of the report, don't forget you'll have plenty of time to ask some miscellaneous questions, but if you wish to ask anything very specifically on the subject of the annual report, then this would be the time to do so. Fine. I will now hand over to Margaret for the Treasurer's Report.
Thank you. As Adrian said, I'm the Treasurer. I asked three or four people in the last week what they thought I should say about the Treasurer's Report. They all said very little. Unanimously, I mean, separately I asked them and they all said as little as possible because nobody's interested. But I shall forget that for the moment and assume that you are at least a little bit interested in the money. And you've got four pages of numbers, and probably the first and the last ones are the most interesting. So the first one allows you to compare the year that Adrian's just been talking about, the year that ended on the 31st of March, with the previous year, ending the previous 31st of March. And really, all you need to do is look at the comparison between them to see that the turnover increased, that's the income increased, for the reasons that Adrian said, that we've shown more films, therefore, obviously, we will have more income, and inevitably, the costs also increased, not by the same amount, so the profits were larger. And the operating profit at the bottom of the first page, you can see, has gone up quite a bit. The middle two pages, I've got more detailed figures about those numbers, but the last page has got the administrative costs. Also, a comparison between the 2 years so that you can see what we've been spending in different years. And some of it will be, for example, halfway down the list for the year that's just finished, you've got property repairs. Again, the sort of things that Adrian was talking about, the refurbishment of the cinema, obviously requires money to be spent, and that was a lot more than the previous year, £7,000 as opposed to £67. So you've got the two figures to see side by side. The income obviously comes from ticket sales, and we know that there are three places where the tickets are sold. The ticket source, Wallace Arnold World Choice, for people who want to go and buy a ticket individually, not online, and also tickets at the box office, and that means the box office volunteers, and I'd like to thank them all. There are a lot of them who all do roughly a stint a month working, selling tickets at the events. The costs of the sales are obviously the costs that we pay to the film companies. That's materials in accountancy speak. Other than that, unless anyone has any questions about specific items, or any would like any further information or explanation. I think it's sales at the Arts Bar, largely. At one time, we were selling mugs, if you remember. So that figure, that name, title, is probably carried over from year to year. That the last page with the individual items is always the most interesting. Because we had made a profit, a slightly larger profit in the year that's just finished, we felt able to employ more staff, and we have employed an extra member of staff, as Adrian again said, since the end of the financial year. So the figures will appear next year, obviously, with a larger salary increase. And we have increased salaries each year, as one would expect a good employer to do. For one thing, to keep ahead of the London Living Wage.
Can I just say what a pleasure it is to see accounts set out in this manner, clear, concise, and at this length, excellent. There are many huge organisations who don't produce their accounts with this clarity.
Thank you.
And I can certainly think of one local, long-standing community group who could do well to follow your example.
Well, I'd be very happy to take that praise. I don't actually do them. They're done by the accountants, but I give them all the figures and they convert them into this sort of report. Thank you. I hope it's clear. I mean, that's one reason I don't need to say very much. I think it is quite clear. Happy to take questions at the end individually if anyone wants to ask anything.
Now, my name is John Ingman, and I'm the secretary. So my business tonight with you is appointments to the committee. And this year, we've got 10 places on the committee to be filled. And two of the current members of the committee will want to step down. Our chairman, Adrian Winchester, as he's mentioned, and our box office manager, Alan Peacock. Now, Philip will say more about Adrian's contribution to the work of the campaign, but at this stage, I should simply like to thank Adrian on behalf of his colleagues for his unstinting efforts for the campaign. Our standing today owes a great deal to his insistence on the highest standards in all that we do. Alan has coped with heavy demands on him as box office manager. He's covered all aspects of our sales. He's written summaries of films. He's looked after our links with TicketSource. He's exchanged tickets. He's provided the famous sales summaries to the committee. And we're very grateful to him for all that he's done and glad that he will continue to help us in this area. Now, 8 of the current committee would like to stand again, most for 2 years, though one, Cathy Burns, wants to stand for just a year, and their names are listed on the agenda. And that leaves 2 vacancies to be filled by newcomers, Ian Prattley and James Spreadborough. Now, Ian is not, in fact, new. He was box office manager in that hectic time in 2014, when we first started showing films in the David Lean Cinema. And we welcome him back, and if elected, he would be box office manager. Now, James has worked for the campaign as a projectionist and as a volunteer steward, so he knows a good deal about the organisation. But we are particularly glad to recruit someone younger to the committee, which will improve our age balance. Now, are there any questions about these appointments? No? Well, in that case, I suggest that we elect those listed on the agenda en bloc, without going through them individually. Could I have a proposer who shouldn't be a committee member? Yes, thank you. And a seconder. Thank you very much. And are those appointments agreed? Right. Well, I will now hand over to our new chair, Philip Howard.
Thank you. I will stay seated for reasons that will become clear in a minute. I'm honoured and privileged to be taking up this position. Obviously, very big shoes to fill indeed in taking over from Adrian. I won't be filling them completely. I'll be more of a non-executive chairman with David Lavelli and Roger Dowling leading many of the operational roles. We've now got those two departments, the publicity and external relations, which David leads, and the operational matters, which Roger leads. And so it will be more for myself and other directors of the community interest company to advise and scrutinise and otherwise, be of assistance. Of course, I'll also have my other hat on of continuing to be the programmer, and I do also have a full-time job. So you'll appreciate that perhaps I won't put in the huge number of hours that Adrian has. Therefore, we will be particularly keen to see new volunteers on the behind-the-scenes side. While we have our new committee, we'll be very glad to see people who'd like to get more involved, perhaps come along to a committee meeting or help us with some of those special projects and screenings that Adrian discussed, because we will certainly need some extra helping hands to replace the huge amount of energy and enthusiasm and expertise that he's brought. So, please just have a word with any of us if there's anything you'd like to get involved with, dip your toes, try it out. Taking over from Adrian reminds me a bit of scout leader took over from Robert Baden-Powell. Baden-Powell set up the movement and was a huge figure, was the chief scout of the world, and his successor decided it would be best just to be the chief scout for the United Kingdom. So it's a bit like that. Rather than verbally retell the story of how Adrian has led us from the 2011 Green Dragon pub meeting to the thriving cinema that we have today, because we do need to celebrate his accomplishments, we have instead, thanks to our colleague Alex Tyler, who can't be here right now, we've put together a little slideshow. So if I could direct your attention to this screen, there will be a few seconds of embarrassing delays while I try to operate a Mac, and then hopefully we'll have something here. Now, bear in mind that as well as being a cinema enthusiast, Adrian has deep associations with the Croydon punk scene, and the soundtrack will reflect this. Committed volunteers, Hilary and Laura, have a small token of our esteem for Adrian as well.
Quick comment. Of course.
I've said more than enough, so I promise to be brief, but I'm genuinely overwhelmed by that extraordinary presentation. It's a wonderful piece of work that I will definitely be requesting a copy of. So many thanks to everyone who had a hand in that. Many thanks for the beautiful portrait of the clock tower that I've been presented with, which you're very welcome to come and have a closer look at. I knew I'd forget one thing in my report, and the photos of when the mayor came last September, after the first stage of the seats project. I think that was the one key event that I overlooked. So thank you to the mayor coming on that occasion, and thank you to the David Lean Foundation, who have been very important allies to the campaign, because they, of course, funded that stage of the project, and they would certainly be funding at least most of the projection project that I referred to. So I'm glad to have put in that omission, and thank you once again for the memorable presentation and that extraordinary combination of images with some well-chosen music. Thank you.
We now come to the listening to our audience portion of the evening for your questions and answers. We have one written question already, so perhaps if we start with that. We have been asked, why do you still have the title Save the David Lean Cinema? Has it not been saved yet? Margaret provided a pithy answer to this earlier, which is that it's too much trouble to change the paperwork. Go on.
Can I just say I'm trying to change the mandate of who can sign on the bank account? It's a nightmare. The idea of changing a name is just...
There is another one. While we were waiting to start, I jotted down a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats analysis, because that's the kind of exciting thing that the chairman is supposed to do. In strengths, we have loyal supporters, committed volunteers, a diverse programme, growing attendances. It was 10,000 per annum on a rolling basis now, wasn't it, Alan? And our day-to-day financial health, as Margaret has demonstrated. There are weaknesses. We have variable attendances for some titles that are less typical and often on Thursday afternoons. And I guess I'd say to folks, a variant of what Adrian said, I'm not asking you to watch films that you know you won't like, but I am asking you to watch films that you don't know that you'll definitely like, if you see what I mean. An example of this, in last year's London Film Festival, I took my mother to see The Red Turtle, which I think is the first time she'd ever seen an animation film made for, you know, not for a predominantly children's audience. And she liked it so much that she came back when we showed it here in July and brought two of her friends. So these things can surprise us. But if you've tried enough of a particular type of film to know that it's not your cup of tea, fine. We have a continued vacancy for an arts bar manager, which we'd really love to see filled. And you know, we know we don't show all of the quality films that that we might, but it's not yet clear that we have the consistent audience or the volunteer capacity to increase our programme. On the opportunities, we have, you know, the cooperation with the council, and it's very encouraging that other people are also finding some success screening in the cinema. And perhaps, as Adrian says, if there could be a centralised box office, we could increase cooperation further. We had some recognition from the Greater London Authority recently. Their lead on the nighttime economy came and saw us and appeared to be impressed. In terms of threats, we have the strategic issues that we don't know what will happen when the Fairfield reopens, and we don't know what the council's views are for the future direction of the clock tower, what they want to do with this very space that our cinema sits in. So that is a reason to keep vigilant. The issue of the projector was also mentioned, and there's a delicate sort of process around what kind of discussions we have with the council about that, because we'd certainly much prefer if they pay for it, but you know, we have to handle this in a certain diplomatic manner, shall we say. And also, you know, as I said, for other volunteers, there is the issue of succession planning. We've had a wonderfully stable committee, and you know, we've on the whole got on rather well with one another. But several of us have been doing this for a few years, and it's important that we have that continuation. It's great to see one returning colleague and one genuinely new colleague join the committee. And much as we all love one another, we think it'd be healthy if there's some more turnover, you know, next year, and certainly the year after. So that's a really important thing as well, to keep the cinema going. So there's a lot to be really pleased about, and to be so proud of what Adrian and all the rest of us have achieved to date. But you know, a cinema doesn't continue on its own. If you like, it needs to be continually saved. Do we have further questions from the floor, please? We've got a wonderful microphone here. Gentleman there.
This may sound unbelievably petty, but now the arts bar is up and running again, which is good, some of us manage to eat before we come. My old dad doesn't, so she's reliant on having a snack here. I'm quite happy with a glass of wine, but she's not. I just wonder, could the arts bar team look to rather more healthy bars? It's easily done, but don't ask me. Don't shoot the messenger, please.
We'll make a note of that, and you know, discuss the possibilities at our committee meeting. I don't want to overcommit, because this, as I said, is being run by our volunteer. By our volunteer coordinators, and you know, and we don't yet have a dedicated manager, but we'll see what we can do. And Heather, we have here, actually.
I'm one of the volunteer coordinators, and I didn't hear your question, Stephen, because you were in front of me. So if you could ask me again, I'll just try and answer it.
I managed to eat before I come, but Leslie can't. And she was just looking to snacks being rather more healthy. If you look at the sugar level of some of them, it's fairly serious.
Okay, that's a good point. We'll take it on board. I'm very pleased to announce that as from this morning, something Philip doesn't yet know, we do have a new arts bar manager, and we've got two who are going to job share. And reviewing what we offer is one of the things that we would like to do with those two people. So that we'll take your point on board, Stephen. I'm quite keen on having healthy snacks myself.
Fantastic. I'm quite keen on having some craft beer, so this is wonderful news. Our next question, please.
I don't know whether other people have noticed that occasionally you show a film here, which a few weeks later comes on Film 4 or one of those channels. Now, I don't actually mind that, but is it something that you're aware is going to happen, or is it just one of those things you can't avoid?
It's difficult to avoid, particularly when we're in the situation that we are in, where we program in arrears. Part of the reason that's my way of saying, you know, what used to be called a second run cinema, that we tend to show things some weeks or even months after they go on general release. There's two reasons why we do that. One is that we don't have a full-time programmer who can spend their life going up and down to various venues in Soho on a handful of days' notice to see the screenings, because that's how it works most of the year, isn't it, David? Yeah. But the other one is that unless you show a film a certain number of times and across a certain number of days, then the distributors won't let you have it earlier. And we're still learning some of the tricks of the trade as to how to persuade them to give us a film a week earlier than they otherwise would, and things like that. It is particularly an issue with certain things. So we've been burnt a few times, I think, on the kind of documentaries that turn up on BBC, BBC 4 Storyville, for example. So yeah, we know we have to be particularly on our toes with that. So to some extent, it's something that's just going to happen, and these films are made to be seen at the cinema, but we'll try and, you know, we'll try and minimise it.
Wearing my Lord of Doom and Gloom hat, which I believe I still retain, even though I'm no longer box office manager.
So, yes.
I'm concerned that the campaign has almost been too successful for its own long-term viability good, in that we are now struggling to get dates in what we might naively consider to be our own auditorium, this month being a case in point, where we are, well, we've opted not to show a film tonight. Next Thursday we can't show a film either, and I think David has said there's dates that we would have liked in October and even in November that we can't have. And as the campaign has expanded its activities and is taking on more and more part-time staff, we will need a certain number of reasonably well-attended screenings each month just to break even in future. And so that's not so much a question, more a public warning.
Yes, perhaps if I could comment on that, because I've been quite involved with this, to the extent that I've actually arranged with the council, I've actually booked up our slots until the end of next year to make sure that we had the usual Tuesday and Thursday slots. And also, based on last year's extra screenings, have booked extra Wednesdays and Saturdays to cope with what I expect to be extra screenings that we need for repeats. Obviously, Dunkirk and Victoria and Abdul are going that way at the moment. What I would say is that not only have we got the nice problem of other bodies coming in and using the cinema, as has been mentioned, the Indian films, the Polish Cinema Club, and the recent Andy Warhol films. But unfortunately, because the new town hall building, a lot of the floors have actually been leased to other people, council staff themselves are now looking around for other meeting rooms and spotting that the cinema is actually available on the booking system. And so getting a daytime slot at what might be fairly short notice is going to become more difficult in the future. It's unfortunate, really. I mean, it's unfortunate that that should happen from the point of view of just the staff wanting to use it. I think it's more encouraging that we've got outside bodies that want to use it to actually show films. I suppose I'm a bit worried that some of those bookings by the council staff would just be because they need a room with seats and where somebody can stand at the front and talk to them. Thank you.
Going back to the point before Alan's, it would be helpful if in some way you could list films you intend to show or want to show in the future. The reason being, I've had conversations with lots of people who said, I actually went to see that at The View or something because I didn't know if David Lean would be screening it. They'd rather watch it here, but if they fear they might miss it, they will go elsewhere.
I think I'll answer this with my programming hat on. It can be tricky knowing for sure, and most months I am bringing a note to the committee that includes decisions to be taken, that there may be one or two surefire films, but there will be others where, you know, it's a matter of balance and preference. You know, do we go with this this animated film, or do we go with this gloomy continental drama? That makes it a tricky thing to do. I mean, if you ask me now, I could take my book in which I list the forthcoming releases and program the next few months, but I get it wrong because some of these will probably turn out to be rubbish, and they look good on paper, and then we don't know until pretty close to the release date whether we actually want to show them. And so I recognise the problem. It's something that is a byproduct of us being a second run cinema, basically. And so until we, the possible time when we show a film on several occasions and we have more of a professional programming structure, then it's going to continue, to be honest. It's a bit chicken and egg, because I realise that that selling, you know, you've presented an issue where we're not selling as many tickets as we could, but we just have to try and break out of that as best we can. Okay, last chance for any more questions. Otherwise, we will take a short break for refreshments, and you can, of course, have a chat with us during that time. We've got a gentleman in the front row.
Hello. I was just interested, obviously, with the exceptional Q&A events that they've had at the cinema in the past. I just wonder, publicity-wise, are there any links with the film schools whereby... because if you go to sort of BFI or LFS or whatever, they quite often have somebody who specifically emails the course leaders to let them know, and they always seem to be very well attended to help boost numbers by students at the film schools. And I just wondered if that was something that was done publicity-wise here as well. It always seems to be quite well attended.
It hasn't been done on a routine basis, but David, we can give it a try. Why not? Thank you. That concludes the formal business, doesn't it, John? I'm not missing anything. Lovely. And so we invite you to join us for some refreshments, and then we'll have our screening of the Fairfield Connection in about how long?
Quite 15 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much.